Do you ever feel so overwhelmed that you had the most ridiculous dream and now it's bothering you?
It's pretty much a regular human reaction, right? If you've got too much going on, your body and your mind will tell you things in different ways.
It's Anna and Raven. I never had one of these dreams before in my life. But last night, sure enough, I get into bed, I go to sleep, and I wake up like in a startle. I had the naked dream.
Okay.
So in the dream, I'm back at school, and it's middle school, right?
Of course.
And
your most confident school, time of your body image.
Yeah. And here I am, and I'm in class, and it's like all the kids I went to school in middle school. And I look down, and I'm completely naked.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, I look up, and it's not middle school anymore. Now it's present day.
Right. And are you still naked?
I'm still naked.
Are you naked in a classroom full of middle school kids? Because that would also be a bigger problem.
No.
Okay,
no, no,
good.
No.
Good. At least you're in a different location.
Yes.
All right.
Now it's all my coworkers in one of our conference meetings.
Sure, sure. No, that's normal.
And I was like humiliated. Mm-hmm. And everybody was talking to me completely normal as if I wasn't naked.
Right.
But I was.
But was anybody more cheerful to you than they normally are? Yeah.
No, but I kept thinking I should go downstairs in the car. I should go down to the parking lot and get a sweater.
Yeah, you probably have a scarf or something down there.
Something to cover myself up.
Maybe a reusable bag.
Yeah. That that being naked dream that you have that I've never had before is the second most common dream in America. And it kind of goes along with everything that's going on in my life right now, because I immediately get up and I Googled, what does the being naked in your dreams mean?
I mean, I've been naked at work in my dreams plenty of times
before. Have you?
For good reasons and bad reasons. And always it's maybe I've been naked and the record is ending. So that's the big thing, too, is if the song is ending and you're not in the studio room and you know it's going to stop, that's a common radio thing. And if you're naked on top of it, that's just, I've been there.
It makes a lot of sense. If you are naked in your dreams, what they say it means is that it indicates that you feel like a phony. You're afraid of revealing your imperfections and shortcomings.
Perfect.
I was just talking about my girlfriend about this. It's the imposter syndrome. It's when you feel like you're not good enough for what you're doing.
I think that's a human feeling, though, right? We put ourselves in situations where we're tested all the time. I mean, especially certain jobs and stuff like that. And if you care about something deeply, you're going to feel like maybe I'm not quite ready.
Exactly. Yeah, and when you have a lot on your plate and a lot at work, and all of a sudden you think, I'm not good enough to handle this. I can't handle this. You're naked in your dream.
I want to help you.
Yeah. But that's,
you already passed middle school.
That's not the... but that's the number two most common dream.
Okay.
The number one most common dream that people have is falling. You ever have the falling dream?
Of course, yeah.
And that means that you have to rethink or reconsider a new direction or a decision that you have just made in your life, because that could be problematic.
You stepped over the ledge. You went too far maybe on this one.
Yep. And the number three most common dream is being chased. Now, it depends on who's chasing you. If you're being chased by animals, that means you're hiding from your own anger, passion, or other feelings.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're being like by a random person, an unknown figure.
Right.
That could represent childhood experience or past trauma.
Okay, that's scary.
And if you're being chased by someone of the opposite sex, it means that you're afraid of love or you're haunted by a past relationship.
I mean, I think I've been naked in every one of these dreams at one point or another.
Well, that's just strange. Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you're upset that the new Lifetime special that premieres this weekend is only 15 minutes long, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, you're talking about the Mario Lopez, right?
Yeah. Mario Lopez is going to be a sexy Colonel Sanders, and it's only going to be 15 minutes. Here's a snippet from the trailer.
A Lifetime original mini movie.
You don't answer my proposal, and now you're not answering my call.
I think I'm falling for the new chef. He has a secret recipe that's going to change the world.
We all have our secrets.
Who the hell are you?
Harlan Sanders, the new chef.
Mario Lopez is Colonel Sanders in a recipe for seduction.
I know that they're doing this just to get grabs on Lifetime, because they're trying to take from the Hallmark Channel, which is all about the Christmas movies right now. But I'm here for it.
Right. I mean,
I want this first so
off,
badly.
Of course he's going to be a sexy Colonel Sanders. Is there any other version of Mario Lopez that shows up? He's always
Slater?
Sexy and always ready to host. Whatever it is that you have going on, that guy is a great host.
He's
just
available.
Put him in play.
Yeah.
And he's always in shape. So, I mean, he's ready to go. I'm sure he's going to be golden tan, just like a bucket of chicken.
When you think about Mario Lopez, right?
Sure.
And then you think about Colonel Sanders.
Right.
who's always on that KFC logo. Did you ever in a million years put the two together and think, yeah, that's hot?
Well, over the last couple of years, you know, they've been doing that random Colonel Sanders thing. And I think that they've had one or two guys that were actually jacked before. So, I mean, I guess it's not all that shocking. They'll do whatever nowadays, man. It's like the Colonel's kind of turned into the king. He's a little goofy and campy.
Do you think the real Colonel Sanders would be flattered by this? No. Or would he be like, come on, guys, just eat the chicken?
I think the real Colonel Sanders would probably be canceled at this point. I think he'd already be gone from our history books. So this is the way they bring him into the modern times.
I already have my wine picked out that I'm going to watch with this. And I'm like, but it's only 15 minutes long. I go, why wouldn't they make this a full-length feature?
Pre-game first, and then see whether or not the demand is there for a sequel.
That's all I need to know about myself.
I've been doing a lot of driving over the last, like, week or so, and I maybe I'm just paying attention more to what's going on the road there because it's all I've had to look at, but there is more trash right now on the road than ever. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, the cup or whatever that's around the window. This morning, driving in, deer on the side of the road is a normal thing on the route that I take from time to time. Today, there was a refrigerator that I missed by about 6 inches that was on the side of the road on the fast lane in on the highway. Like, how do you drop a refrigerator on the highway and nobody is aware of it?
You should probably tell somebody if you do that.
I mean, here's the thing. If you've got a fridge in the back of a pickup truck, stiff wind doesn't just blow that thing out of there. I mean, that thing weighs hundreds of pounds. And if it starts to move, like, you're going to know before it goes.
That's scary.
And who was behind said refrigerator when that thing rolled out of a car?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny you bring it up because yesterday, same thing. It wasn't a refrigerator, but it was just a lot of garbage bags. It was garbage bags. I'm like, who just throws a garbage bag out on the side of the road?
I've been seeing clothes. I'm thinking about checking missing persons reports because I've been seeing a lot of clothes.
You think a person lost their shirt and their refrigerator at the same time?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Experts analyzed how much people were spending this holiday season, and they found something kind of surprising.
Our survey showed that consumers plan to spend less on most categories over the holidays, except for one, which was pet toys and accessories.
It's Anna and Raven. The amount of money that people are spending on their pets this year is higher than ever before. Raven, just take a guess.
Yeah.
How much?
Are you asking me personally in my house, or are you asking me, like, in general?
Well, let's see if you are on par with what Americans are spending. How much are you spending in your house per pet?
For the holidays, I would say probably it's got to be at least like $60 or so per pet.
You spend $60 per
doggy? And it could maybe be a little bit more, you know. I mean, my dogs are bougie, you know, so they got, like, you know, they got car seats that are like big bucks, all sorts of stuff. But if you're just talking toys and stuff for them to enjoy, probably, yeah, like $60 a pop.
Well, you're on par with most Americans.
Oh.
Spend about $70.
Okay.
But millennials spend $140 on each pet. $140. I am technically a millennial.
Yeah.
I can't imagine in a million years spending that kind of money I'm a puppy. Now, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I love my Lila Bear.
Well, you'll have to tell her that after she's comparing notes with the neighbor's dog.
Right.
Who got themselves at least $70 worth of stuff. Top stuff that you're going to... I mean, think about it, all right? So Barkley's only 24 inches long, but I'm getting him a 2-foot-long bone. I'm also getting him a 24-inch bone. And that bone costs like $20 right there, okay? Baxter loves sweaters, all right? And here's the thing about
Baxter.
Does
he love sweaters?
No, he does. He really, if you watch him walk and how you pull out his sweater and how he gets pumped up, he really loves clothes.
Okay.
So then he needs like 2-3 outfits because that's not really like a toy. And then he's also a toy hoarder. So, like, I mean, these guys have issues. And then Barkley wants steak. These things add up.
It's odd that your dogs have full closets of clothes.
He has at least two drawers. There's more of the dog's clothes in the house at this point than there are the kids. He has more winter jackets than I do.
So to me, that seems a lot. It seems like a lot to be spending that kind of money when it comes to your pets. I buy one toy and then one special treat. Like, that's it. And I already got the toy, and it was, like, I think, like $12.99.
Listen,
that's it.
Baxter's new knit sweater, his cable knit sweater, that thing's like $33.
Kind of weird. Who shops Gucci for their dogs?
That's what he likes.
Oh.
That's what he likes.
But do your doggies have Christmas stockings?
Of course they do. They each have their own with their photo on it and everything.
Mine have a Christmas stocking too, and 54% of Americans do. They have the stocking with their pet's name on it.
Sure, they're part of the family.
Yep. Do you put, you don't send Christmas cards? Cause
that's right. I'm not an adult.
I don't want
an adult yet. That's it.
But it's 29% of people will send a Christmas card to their dog, which also, my dog is featured on my Christmas card along with my children.
Sure.
But I don't think I'm going to send her one because she can't read.
In all likelihood, if you receive a Christmas card from my house, one of the dogs actually took the initiative to send it because it probably wouldn't be me and my wife.
And the one thing that I thought was the strangest out of all of this is 3% of people say that their pets will be, quote unquote, writing letters to Santa Paws.
Oh, that's nice.
If your dog was going to request one item from Santa Paws this year, what would it be besides the Gucci sweater?
Bacon.
Okay.
Bacon is usually the fallback.
Nice. She's famous on TikTok, all about life hacks when it comes to being a mom. It's Anna and Raven. Shannon Doherty.
How many times do you hear the 90210 joke? Like, you must be so over that, right?
All the time. I know. My friends wanted me to play it at my wedding. My husband's Luke, too. So that's even, like, adds to it more.
Stop it.
So Shannon Doherty is a TikTok mom life hacker. And I don't know what the correct terminology is because you're an influencer. But do you not like being called influencer?
No, I don't mind it at all. I have a ton of friends who are influencers in the Instagram space. So when I started doing this on TikTok, I'm like, I guess. One of my friends said today, they were like, wait, am I an official TikTok mom now? I'm like, I guess. I don't know what people call us.
Well, Shannon, when you get 8.5 million likes, you're an official something. I'll tell you that.
The best way I can describe what you do is basically you're like Martha Stewart back in her prime, but now on TikTok with really helpful mom life hacks.
Thank you. I mean, that's so sweet of you to say. Yes, that is exactly what I'm hoping to be. I love everything Martha Stewart did.
Do you think one day you're going to be smoking with Snoop Dogg and also have a show?
Because that's our dream. Right. That's everything we aspire to do right there. Shannon, what is the station that you've created that you're most proud of? Like, you look at it and you're like, I'm a genius.
Someone said that to me the other day. Are you going to create a self-serve station hashtag on TikTok? I'm like, I guess I should. You know, the thing is, I have 4 kids, so anything to make our lives easier and my kids more independent at the house has been amazing. That Stay Healthy station at the front door for the sanitizers and masks definitely was the most picked up as far as news outlets and everything. But our breakfast station I love. I don't know. I love them all.
Okay, so now hearing you say you love them all, which one is the biggest failure? That you still love it, but the kids have like zero interest in it.
My recent hot cocoa station did not go over so well with 6, 4, 3, and 1-year-olds because pouring the hot water in with the cocoa, they're not really grasping that concept.
Right. Yeah.
The marshmallows are getting eaten on their own. I think I need to reevaluate that station.
Right.
Shannon, you're like the mom I like aspire to be, like the crafty mom. Right. That you're smart and you've got all these like ideas and you do them and the kids look engaged and they want to do these crafts and you have 4 kids and somehow manage to balance all of it. What have you found has been the most helpful life hack when it comes to momming?
I don't know if you saw my at the grocery store when the kids could just climb through the bottom of the grocery cart. To get your kids in the cart, you just kind of push in the bottom of the shopping cart. That one has very much changed my life. Another one that has been life-changing is the self-serve fridge, where I put the cart in the fridge of snacks every day, and the kids can just open it and grab them themselves.
Yes, brilliant, actually.
But that was a great one. That even little ones, like my kids would always put their shoes on the wrong feet going to school. And so getting kids out in the mornings is a process in itself, right? So I started just putting a sticker in each shoe and cutting it in half so the kids know, like, when the sticker meets, that's the right foot.
Yeah, that's smart.
How did you figure out that you can cook vegetables in your dishwasher, and why would you want to do that?
I didn't make that up. You know, someone has cooked a lasagna in, so I was looking up different hacks online that you could do over the holidays, and I saw this one, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's genius.
Do all your friends come over and beg you to make them TikTok famous? Be real.
I do have a good
Yeah.
Right. Let's do that together right now.
I would also like to come over and do a TikTok video.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just trying to break the ice. Right. No, we're outside right now. If you didn't know, look outside. We're in your driveway.
Yeah,
right?
You can follow Shannon on TikTok at Home with Shannon. Again, that's at Home with Shannon. And Shannon, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
1-800-330-9999. What's the most unattractive or questionable tattoo you've ever seen, or do you have one yourself? It's Anna and Raven. Okay. Raven, you ever been in a situation where you see somebody's new tattoo and you're just like,
Oh, man, are you kidding me? Oh, all the time. Right. I mean, it's all the time. You know, tattoos are one of those things that obviously it's artwork, and so that's personal, and everybody has a different mind of what it's going to look like. On top of it, it's supposed to be something that you're about. So when you see the decisions that people have made to put something permanent on their body, hey, you're going to get a lot of questions that come up, I think.
Yeah.
At least for myself, that's the way I look at it.
On Facebook yesterday, there's a guy. The best way I can describe him is a townie. He's like one of those guys that everybody knows from around town.
Sure.
Yeah. And he posted what he called a tribute to 2020 tattoo.
Right.
And it was a candy cane on his forearm. And I just stopped. I go, what?
Well,
I mean, that's your tribute to 2020, a candy cane? Does a candy cane have any significance to you? Because when I think 2020, candy canes doesn't come into my mind.
Well, he probably thinks that it's like a ridiculous year, right? So he's like, why not get this ridiculous tattoo? And then the one thing that I'll take positive from the year is Santa. Maybe.
I mean, if he had Santa Claus tattooed on his forearm,
well,
I mean,
now
that's
you're getting
how you
judgmental.
Well, now you're getting on the nice list forever, and I could see why you would do that. But a candy cane, that's not going to get you any bonus points on Christmas morning.
Here's the thing. I'm sure that if we took you and looked at all your tattoos, at least, you know, a good percentage of people would find some of those stupid.
Oh, no.
Same thing goes with mine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's for everybody to do.
Raven and I have the dumbest, ugliest tattoos of anybody in the world.
I've got a couple strange ones, right, you know. And then you make the typical mistake. So what's the worst tattoo you've seen? Is it one of yours?
No. The dumbest tattoo I've ever saw was I was in Philadelphia once, and I was walking behind a woman, and she had her hair up. It was in the summer, and in the back of her neck, she had YOLO tattooed.
Oh, nice.
And I remember thinking, why?
Lots of regrets on
Lots
that
of regrets.
One.
YOLO on the back of your neck? Like, yeah. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in that situation right there. YOLO!
Yeah, I always point to the ones that one of my friends got when we were like 17. It is a chicken going to the bathroom on a toilet, and it is in the middle of his bicep. So that is like the thing that you see. Like, you can't cover that up with a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's there forever. And he's got other tattoos, but that's clearly the dumbest.
What's the dumbest one you have?
The first tribal tattoo I got on my back was really dumb. And, like, I mean, it's small, really, when I look back at it proportionately. I thought it was huge at the time. It was, like, my biggest tattoo, but it was, like, a tramp stamp on the top of my back.
Nice.
I covered that thing up with something that's a monster. And, of course, then I covered it up with a sweater.
That just
grows.
That just keeps growing
over
constantly.
And over and over again. I know another guy who, so there's sometimes you just don't understand him. I know that guy, he's got a skull, and the skull is wearing a top hat, and yet it's a Yankees skull. I don't know what sense that makes. I mean, I understand baseball, but I don't understand that tattoo.
Well, there's some things that you just got to, like, dig deep to find the meaning. I've got a few like that. Several people on our Facebook page wrote that are nurses, wrote that they saw people that have do not resuscitate tattooed on patients that come into the ER.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Is that a real thing?
No, it is a real thing, right.
Are you joking? Or are you dead serious?
No, you're dead serious when you do that. It is a real thing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's dark, right?
Well, I mean, I guess it would be a dark choice for you.
Yes, it's Hannah and Raven.
I mean, if you put it next to like a dolphin or a star or a sunflower or something like that, I guess some people might think it's more positive, but I have heard of that before.
Worst tattoo you've seen? Somebody I know on Facebook, I call him a townie because, you know, he's just like one of those guys you know from around town. He posted a picture as his tribute to 2020 tattoo, and it was of a candy cane on his forearm. And I just stopped and I was like, huh.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you're like, does that have a special meaning? Because I don't see how that has anything to do with 2020. A roll of toilet paper, some Bounty paper towel maybe. But
I mean, maybe you want to win a bar bet when bars open back up, I guess.
I guess.
Who knows?
So what is the strangest or worst tattoo you've seen, and do you have it? Me and Raven were talking off the air. Every one of my tattoos are bad. Every single one of them. Now, you can't, if you don't know me,
right.
You can't see them.
They're hidden.
They're all hidden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're just for your husband.
Well, no, they're not for him because he hates tattoos and he doesn't have a single one. They're for me. Well, my mom hates tattoos more than anything. She didn't know I had any until I got married.
You were like 36.
Yeah. But she always said that it was an issue with her that she didn't like seeing tattoos on women that wear wedding dresses. So I don't believe that, but I always hid mine where you would never see it in a wedding dress.
Okay.
So they're all kind of in hidden places, but they're all terrible. I had one that was redone on my ankle that's of a compass. I don't know where I'm going, but it's awful.
Right. Is that true north? I don't think so.
No, I have, let's see. I have a mom tattoo on my rib cage of my older daughter's name. I still haven't done my younger daughter. I guess I have to do that at
some
point.
You don't love her enough.
It's like I was it was 10 years ago. Too old for that now. I just showed up and picked something off the wall. I'm like, yep, that works. Like, who does that?
It's a bad choice. Oh. But it does happen, and it definitely happens with the first ones, that's for sure. A lot of people go in, they're not thinking, so they put it in a bad spot, or they just make an impulsive decision.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Worst tattoo you've seen?
I was in Vegas, and I went to a casino for the first time, got to a roulette table, and all of a sudden this guy walked in, and he goes, the 00 is here. And he had a huge tattoo on his forearm of 00.
I always play 000.
She does.
She
plays the basket all the time.
All the time.
That's true.
Maybe I should get that tattoo.
You know what? Believe it or not, it was my first time, and I saw that, and I put my money on Rose.
Did you hit?
00. Oh, my God. It came out 4 times.
That's nice. Why. Boom.
See?
Listen, if I can
I say we all go get tattoos
right now. Right now. Yeah. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's the bad tattoo you have or the worst you've seen?
I have the ankle tattoo of Tinkerbell.
Oh, yeah, she's one of those.
But is it a good tattoo or is it like an older tattoo where now you can't even tell it's Tinkerbell? It just looks like what was the name of the guy from the Ghostbusters? The slob? The slime?
Slimer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that bad, but the thing is that it's a mediocre tattoo. It's not the worst, not
right.
the best, but it's Tinkerbell, and I used to be super into Disney, and I'm just, you know, I'm in my late 30s now, and it's kind of not really
appropriate. Weird. Right, it's weird.
It's a little weird. You know, I find that I do wear, you know, boots as opposed to heels more often than I think I would if I didn't have it. You know, it's subtle things. I'm used to it by now, but I would like to not have it.
Well, you need to embrace it again. It's clearly start wearing your glass slippers again. That way the world can see it. Bippity-boppity-boop.
Well, as someone that has terrible tattoos myself, I feel your pain. Joy wrote on our Facebook page, she saw a person that Home of the Whopper tattooed across his stomach.
Nice.
That's nice.
Thug life, yo.
It's Anna and Raven. It's the strangest or worst tattoo that you've seen. One of my friends, speaking of fast food, he had an Arby's tattoo, the logo of Arby's. And I thought, like, well, you get free Arby's when
right.
you go in there? No.
I mean, that would be
no.
the only reason that I would do something like that.
No, he
put
just
that
really
on my body.
Likes Arby's.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, if I put a full back, you know, portrait of Ozzy on my body, like, I expect to get backstage once or twice, right? I mean, that's just part of it. Give me the free roast beef sandwich, please, Arby's.
This all comes up because I saw a guy who posted on Facebook, he's like a friend of mine, a townie, that he'd put a tribute to 2020, and it was a candy cane on his forearm. And I was like, oh, that's a weird tattoo that you'll probably regret one day.
Not the best choice.
But maybe not. What's the strangest tattoo you've seen or you have? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven.
So I am the guy who has his ex-wife's face tattooed on his shoulder.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you made a real commitment.
Yeah. My friends warned me that you never get a tattoo of your wife because that never ends well, and I'm clearly paying the consequences now. So
good. Well, I mean, you could cover it, maybe like try and change it or something, maybe into a lion. I don't know what her hair looks like, but I'm just, you know, something like that.
Face is tough.
Yeah,
a name is one
thing. I am definitely looking into it for sure.
The good news is it's on your shoulder, so you never really have to see it.
I mean, except for like when he's outside and it's summer. Everybody sees your shoulder.
Really, yeah, I guess.
Every beach the rest of his life. His next honeymoon.
I had a friend.
How about that?
I'll make you feel better. I had a friend. Her name was Michelle. She's very, very sweet. She's now divorced from her ex-husband. But her ex-husband was like obsessed with Guns N' Roses. You know that song, My Michelle?
Oh, yeah.
He got a tattoo on his arm, a big one, of her with no clothes on.
Good.
On top of a handgun.
Right.
That was it. And for what I remember when she posted it on Facebook, I was like, oh, that is something you regret whether or not you stay with the person. And the marriage didn't work out. So I think, as usual, we've learned something here. There's a reason why you're not supposed to get people's names or their pictures on you.
Yeah, never.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the bad tattoo you have or you've seen?
Well, back in the day, a guy I used to work with had a bumblebee. And it was south of the border, so to speak.
Oh, nice. So did he have it So the guy.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait
was
a
it
minute.
On his back like a tramp stamp?
No, it was south of the border, like a bee sting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was on there.
Oh, it was on there, but it wasn't a pretty sight.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the terrible tattoo you regret?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I was 17, and I was a child in the 90s, so I was obsessed with Lisa Frank and all of those, like, her crazy stickers and the Trapper Keepers and all of that, and I was obsessed with the dolphins that she created, and so I took a sticker to a tattoo place, and I had them recreate a Lisa Frank dolphin, a tramp stamp, so it was on my lower back.
Perfect. Right.
And it was, like, of course, when I got older, I'm like, why did I do this?
Yeah, future president.
I can't right. see it.
No.
Right, but it's just, like, it's ridiculous. Right.
Oh, my gosh, you took something so pure. And you put it right in the sexiest spot that you could have done at the time.
Yeah.
You're like, here's this dolphin.
I was an idiot. I was 17.
Right. And right. And then when we get to be grown up, it looks like a smudge, which right. is the problem. Oh, it's my like, God. Oh, her butt is dirty.
Oh, my God.
Butt is dirty.
Now, every time you bend over, right in that tramp stamp, because somebody's checking out right. that sweet, innocent yeah. dolphin
They're
right
like,
there.
What is that? Yeah.
And the only way to cover it is to go bigger.
Yeah.
I guess they call it Sputnik 5. It's Sputnik V.
Sputnik 5? That's yeah. what they're calling the vaccine?
Yeah.
What a great idea, huh? Russians got good branding ideas, huh?
Do they?
Everybody knows Sputnik.
Tana and Raven. Russia has their own vaccine, and they've started distributing it this week.
Anna Zapp, we deliver vaccine much earlier than America.
Okay.
You can trust vaccine. Take it. Look at me. I'm Russian stud.
Russian officials, though, are warning citizens that after they get the vaccine, they can't drink any alcohol for 2 months.
Wait a minute. What?
Okay. All right.
I'm not taking that vaccine.
I mean,
I can't do that here in America.
Russia is one of the world's heaviest drinking countries.
Now, is that just the perception or is that like
no,
truth? You're looking at some numbers, you see that?
True statistical facts.
Okay.
That they are one of the heaviest drinking right. countries in the world.
God bless them.
So can you imagine you're in line? Think about the line around the corner right. to get your Sputnik 5, right?
Right.
And you're
and
like,
they're only telling you once you're in the line.
Yeah.
You
so,
didn't
yeah,
know, so it's whispering back to the back of the room. There's people that are drunk in that line right now.
And all of a sudden, you've been standing in that line for your Sputnik 5 COVID vaccine shot.
I love the fact that that's what it's called.
Right?
We definitely need a better name for the American vaccine.
And then they're like, okay, but you can't drink for 2 months. Do you run like hell out of the line?
Right.
Or...
But they tackle you in Russia. You try and run.
Do they?
Yeah.
Right. Is that statistical fact?
It used to be the KGB. Guessing? They have a different name now, but I'm pretty sure they work the same under Putin.
Okay.
We need a better name for the American vaccine. I'll just put that out there. If you call it Challenger, people will be like, accepted.
Yeah, but do we even have it? I don't think they have names, do they?
They don't. It's like Moderna, Pfizer, this. I know that the stock rises every day when they talk about it.
All right. But for 2 months, you can't drink. You get in line for the vaccine?
If I've been healthy up until that point, probably not. I'm going to wait it out a little bit longer.
Seriously,
I'm going to wait it out a little bit longer. Plus, I don't know if somebody's going to grow a third leg when they take it.
Oh, please, you are one of those. All right.
Sputnik 5.
Okay. Let's play what if.
Right.
Would you get the vaccine if for 2 months you couldn't have any carbs? No bread, no pasta, like pure keto diet. If you do, you explode.
I would because it would be like the forced best shape of my life.
Okay.
So that would be all right. Yes.
What if you couldn't drive for 2 months after getting the vaccine? You could only bike places. No public transportation. You get on a bicycle built for two.
A bicycle, not a motorcycle.
No, a bicycle built for two. So you also have the seat in the back.
That's just... Right. No, I'm going to say no, I can't do that. I'm going to have to come back.
All right. How about for 2 months you can't touch anything made of wood or steel? If you touch anything
well,
made of wood or steel.
You can't touch your car then.
Tough.
So now you're not driving again. Your house is made out of wood.
Well.
I'm not getting the vaccine.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. For 2 months you can't watch Netflix or any streaming service. You can only watch regular TV like it's 1974.
Well, if I have, so I'm just trying to keep the math here. If I have enough vodka, then I don't need the television.
Okay.
But if I don't, yeah, I don't know. It's a toss up.
All right.
That one's really, really hard, too.
Can you imagine the seventh guy in line right now? What did they say?
Right.
What?
Get me out of here.
When Santa Claus asks for help, you do everything you can to help him out. He needs to know who's been naughty and who's been nice. That's why we have the Santa tip line. You can call the Santa tip line at 833 833- 431-0905. Let's check those calls.
Oh, there sure are a lot of kids on the naughty list this year. Let's see who called into Santa today.
Message received yesterday.
My neighbor definitely belongs on the naughty list. Never wears his mask, always at the mailbox, just socializing and talking to people in the neighborhood. He just doesn't get the hint. He should get some coal.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've actually noticed this with my neighbors lately. It's like they keep approaching me as I'm getting out of my car.
Right.
And I never know, like, am I supposed to reach in my... I keep my mask on the, you know, thing where you change gears.
Sure.
So I'm like, do I reach and put my mask on because they're coming towards me?
Well, are they wearing one? So that's kind of the question, too. Like, I've got some people, they walk in my neighborhood and they're wearing them outside.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting combination. There's some people that do, and then there's some people that don't. And twice this week, somebody has come up to me to say hello, to chit-chat, and I didn't know what to do. It's a weird thing.
I don't know if Santa's really making that decision. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Message received yesterday.
Hey, Santa. It's me, Jose. Do you think it's possible I can get coal in my sock in this year? Because I have been forgetting and lying about my homework for class. And then I'm also yelling at my friend for no reason. So... do you think it's possible I can find an address this year? Thank you.
Yeah, wish granted, Jose. What is that? Who rats out themselves?
Roll it back, Jose.
Yeah.
All right, roll it back. I mean, it's good that you're falling on the sword and trying to take responsibility for the things that you're doing. On the other hand, just stop it. Just do a better job, Jose.
Just be nicer to your friends and do your homework, Jose. Right.
Well, on the homework thing, I mean, COVID. Right. What are you going to do?
Message received yesterday.
Hi, I want to put my ex-husband, Max, on the naughty list. He is now in a relationship with my first cousin,
oh.
So he deserves to be on the naughty list. Thank you.
Oh.
Wow.
I mean, there's some boundaries, maybe.
Right, but not for the hotline. I mean, you can call and leave whatever you want on the Santa tip line. There's no boundaries on that.
No, he
boundaries on the decisions that he's making. But
you got to go after her cousin?
But I love that call.
Yeah. 833-431-0905. That's the Santa tip line. Help him out. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice?
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Chris and Denise. Denise, what's going on?
We are pregnant with our second child, and we want to name our son after Chris's father. His name is Charles. But the problem is my sister's dog, when I'm very close with my sister, her dog is also named Charles. And the dog's only 6 months old. And so Chris wants to ask my sister to change the dog's name because he feels funny naming our son after a dog. But I think it's a common name, and I don't think it's any big deal. You know, he can have a nickname like Charlie or Chuck. I don't know.
Wait,
something like that.
But you're not naming your son after the dog. You're naming your son after his father.
Exactly. And, like, how can I ask – like, how do you ask someone to change their pet's name? Like, I don't –
Chris,
he's going to be so confused.
That's true, Chris. You want to ask your sister-in-law to change the dog's name?
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, what will be your argument? How will you present this to her? That's what I'm most curious about. I want to hear reasoning to the sister-in-law.
Well, first off, it's a dog, right? It's not a person, and I don't think you should be naming a dog a person's name. Just off the bat. Yeah, right. Well, second, I think that it would be really awkward for somebody to be like, did you name your kid after that dog?
No one is going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure who would assume that.
Right. It's not like you're naming your child Spot or Fido.
Right.
You're naming your child Charles.
That's the point. Charles is a person's name. It was my dad's name. The dog is only 6 months. It doesn't know what its name is yet. It barely knows, like, how to walk.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, like, I don't think it's not realistic to ask her to change his name.
Is Charles aware that he's named after his posthumous father-in-law as
They're
well?
Not even, like, related.
I'm trying to understand. Wait
the
a minute.
The dog is not related to his father. The dog had nothing to do with any of this. It just happens to be a dog that was born to dog parents who somehow got adopted, and now he's named Charles. And all of a sudden, now 6 months later, they want to change his poor dog's name.
How do you know they wouldn't be best friends? Charles and Chuck running around. They could be mates.
Hey, I'm sure they'd be best friends. But don't you think it'd be confusing? I'm at my sister-in-law's house, all that kind of stuff. I'm like, Charles, get over here. And then the dog comes running.
I want to imagine somebody coming to me 6 months after I've had my pet and asking me to rename them.
But it is her sister, and they are really close. So maybe. I mean, I would, if it's your sister, it's your sister.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel uncomfortable asking her to change her dog's name, but she's just going to laugh at me and be like, it's no big deal.
Right, I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah, she would think that it's cute that our second child is going to share the name with her dog.
Well, what we can do is see what our audience has to say, and they may agree with you, Denise, that it's no big deal. Chris, you're making a big deal out of nothing. Just name your son Charles in honor of your father and, you know, move on with your lives. You'll be fine. But they may see your side, too. What's the big deal? And just asking. Say, hey, you know, we're going to name our baby this. It's a legacy name. We're really proud of it, and we think it's funny that your dog is also named that. Would you mind calling your dog Charlie or calling your dog Chuck or calling your dog, I don't know, anything else but Charles?
1-800-330-9999. I can't wait to find out. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Chris and Denise are expecting a son, and they would love to name their son after Chris's father, Charles. One problem. Denise's sister named her new puppy Charles 6 months ago, and now he wants her to ask her sister to change the dog's name.
I mean, I can only imagine walking into your sister's house to have that conversation and have a real conversation about it.
You think it's a big deal? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of on his side. I mean, like, all she has to do is kind of, like, just ask. I mean, it's not going to hurt to ask, but, you know, if she does, she does. If she doesn't, then she doesn't. But, you know, just talk and maybe even come up with some names with her, the sister.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if she wants to come up with dog names, she should go get her own dog.
But I do agree with that. I think you can't do like a hard sit down, but I think saying, just bringing it up. I mean, what if she just calls the dog Charlie? Big deal, right?
Until he gets bothered by that.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask your sister, just be like, listen, you know, do you mind if you change your name? You know, if you ask it a certain way, I don't think it'll be a big deal.
We'll see.
Thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm absolutely on the mother's side, for sure. You cannot ask someone to change their name. No.
It seems strange. I feel like there's not going to be confusion. It's not like it's your dog named Charles, and then you also named your child Charles.
I mean, it seems such a petty thing to be worried about in general.
It is. And it's insulting. If someone came to me, I'd say, no way.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the wife's side. You can't do that. I mean, I guess you could, but no.
You could say it jokingly. That's how you can say it. You could be like, oh, we're going to name the baby Charles. Why don't we call the dog Charlie or something? You could say it like that, but you can't be like, Susan, yeah, we need to sit down and have a conversation about your dog's name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Technically the dog came first, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Denise, our audience agreed with you. You can't ask your sister to change her dog's name. It's not fair.
Nice.
Chris, I mean, maybe if it was your sister, not her side of the family, maybe you could do that. But you're going to sound a little bit like a crazy person. I know it'll be there in your mind, but they're just saving you from your own doom right here.
Okay.
It's going to be all right. I mean, if they both come when called at the Thanksgiving table, that you're not going to regret that. Charlie, come.
Right.
They both come.
It's perfect.
And then they both hop on your lap. Oh, think of how nice that'll be.
I mean, you could jest, I would say. I think you could bring it up as a joke. But I don't think you can seriously ask. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Ed.
Ed?
Yes.
You are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Ed.
All right. We've got $700 on the line. Here's how it's going to work, Ed. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring Raven back in, ask him the same 5 questions. You've got 3 seconds to answer each one. If you get more right than he gets right, you win the money. But here's the thing. You can't tie him. You got to beat him. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, a David Bowie commemorative coin was sent into space this week. In his song, Space Oddity, the song starts by saying ground control to who?
Major Tom.
Number two, Mary-Kate Olsen was seen in New York in a rare sighting as she prepares for a high-profile divorce from her soon-to-be ex-husband, Olivier Sarkozy. What was her character's name on Full House?
Michelle Tanner.
Number three, German Chancellor Angela Merkel was named the most powerful woman in the world by Forbes on their top 100 most powerful women in the world list. Third on the list, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And number 69 is rapper A$AP Rocky's girlfriend. Who is that?
Cardi B.
Number four, Justin Bieber will stream a live concert on New Year's Eve. It'll be his first concert since he canceled his tour in 2017. Where did Justin Bieber's talent manager discover him?
No clue.
And number five, Michael Jordan's golf course now has flying drones that deliver booze to players. What number did Michael Jordan wear during his basketball career?
I don't.
Oh, Ed, that was sad. That was sad, Ed.
But I know.
That's all right. You're still my friend, and I think that you played. He got 2 out of 5. He got the cheat sheet.
Not good.
Yeah. Number one, David Bowie commemorative coin was sent to space this week. In his song, Space Oddity, the song starts by saying ground control to who?
Major Tom.
Yes. Number two, Mary-Kate Olsen was seen in New York in a rare sighting as she prepares for a high-profile divorce to her soon-to-be ex-husband, Olivier Sarkozy.
Yeah.
What was her character's name on Full House?
Tanner Fuller?
No.
Something Tanner?
Well, it's Michelle Tanner, but right. We're not giving you that one.
Yeah, I mean, I never watched really the show, so.
It's sad. Number three, German Chancellor Angela Merkel was named the most powerful woman in the world by Forbes on their top 100 most powerful women in the world list.
Well, good for her.
Third on the list, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And 69 is rapper A$AP Rocky's girlfriend. Who is that?
Rihanna.
Rihanna is correct.
Congratulations on your success, A$AP Rocky.
Number four, Justin Bieber will stream a live concert on New Year's Eve. It'll be his first concert since he canceled his tour in 2017. Where did Justin Bieber's talent manager discover him?
YouTube.
Yes. And number five, Michael Jordan's golf course now has flying drones that delivers booze to players.
I heard that.
What number did Michael Jordan wear during his basketball career?
23?
Yes.
Woo, look at me go.
Ed, I'm sorry. He beat you 4-2 this morning. That does get you your own Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. Ed, I can't beat Raven.
Thanks for trying, Ed. Hold on the line.
The shine came off that new shirt, all right? He wasn't so excited. Better luck next time.
Tomorrow, $800.